I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Saturday, February 29th, 2020, Leap Day, and this is episode 57 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. I find Leap Days to be really exciting. I don't feel like I have an extra day, but I really do, so I hope to spend it well. I guess we'll see what happens today. In kitten news, if you were listening last week, the kitten was better by the end of the day, as I had hoped he'd be. We did a lot of Googling, and it might have been something with the word vestibular in it, that like an inner ear thing that happens randomly. No one knows why, and then it goes away randomly. So he's good. He was back to his normal self, running and playing and jumping and in general being a kitten nuisance. Whereas, he was just wobbling. He couldn't walk straight. He was like mewling and crying. And then like, I wasn't sure if he was having a seizure. It was scary, but all good on the kitten front. So at the moment, all the animals are healthy. Announcement. I'm doing a podcast survey. And so for the month of March, which is the 1 year anniversary of this podcast, I wanted to find out more about the listeners. So there will be a survey going on. I will mention it each episode during the month of March. It will be open the entire month and you can get to it at lpenelope.com/survey. And the link will be in the show notes. And I will hopefully remember to mention it again at the end. And it's totally anonymous, but if you would like to be entered into a giveaway, I'm giving away paperback arcs of Cry of Metal and Bone, book 3 of the Earthsend Chronicles. So if you would like to be entered to win an arc, or if you just want to help me out and tell me something more about you so I'll know, go to lpenelope.com/survey. This week's best thing. I finally started to get myself together to promote the novella that comes out in March, which is Hush of Storm and Sorrow. It's book 2.5 of Earthsend Chronicles. And I am increasingly ambivalent about marketing and promotion. And I guess ambivalent isn't the word. I just don't enjoy it. I don't want to do it. I forget. I think I strategically forget. I posted about the book on Instagram and Facebook. I don't think I did Twitter. I'm definitely ambivalent about Twitter. And I am going to do a book blitz. So I hired the tour company. And I think that, blog tours have very limited effectiveness, but I do like the idea of a blitz just to have someone talking about it somewhere and the ability for it to just get onto search engines, if not anything else. I don't know how many will sign up. We'll see. But if you are a blogger and you're listening to this in real time and you're interested in joining the book blitz, I will have the link in the show notes for sign up information. I think that promo is the worst part of being an author. Especially for me. I mean, not for everybody. I think some people really enjoy promo. I don't. I don't like thinking about it. And one of the really interesting things that came up at last week's KT Literary retreat was we were talking about, obviously traditional publishing and promo and how much what we do as authors pushes the needle. And I think the consensus was it doesn't move the needle that much. You're not going to be able to do what your publisher does. And even if your publisher is doing very little, they still have more reach, at least with the big five. Now, with a small press, I think things change. But with the big five and then the other big ones, so places like Sourcebooks, is Kensington big five? One of the other romance publishers is not technically big five, but they're kind of bigger. There's a whole list of them. I don't remember who they are. But they definitely do more than you. Now, for self-publishing, I mean, moving the needle is all on you, but it's also extremely difficult to break through all of the noise and even to reach the people who want to hear from you. Like a newsletter, a good newsletter open rate is at 25%, at least for most people. And the click rates are lower than that. And then you think about social media, how many people are actually seeing your posts, even the people that like you on Facebook, you kind of have to pay to even reach them because of the algorithms. And I don't want to complain too much because, you know, we have this wonderful opportunity to write what we want to write and publish it the way we want to publish it. But getting it out to people is always the challenge. Discoverability, marketing, and those are things that I don't necessarily enjoy. I like the publishing process. Like, I enjoy making the ebook and laying out the print books and actually making artwork and promo graphics and things like teasers. I like that stuff. But actually pressing send on them is another story. Anyway, it must be done. And so I'm trying to do it. So I'm really proud of myself. All the pre-orders are up. I've actually started posting about it. I'm going to be sending out my regular newsletter every 2 weeks up until release day. So next week, another newsletter will be going out. Trying to build up some interest and some buzz in the novella. The proofread is done. I've gotten it back. And that was great. She actually caught something that, like, not a huge thing, but a big enough, like, continuity error that I'm really grateful that I didn't catch. My copy editor, who's also is really good at that, but didn't catch it. But you can't, you know, people are human. So really appreciate that. And so I will be, the last thing I have to do in terms of like production, getting this ebook out, is choose the illustrations. So in the print books, St. Martin's had gotten an illustrator to design sigils for the nine houses. And so if you look in the preview, you'll see at the beginning of every chapter, there's an illustration. So in the first novella, I found some illustrations that are different than those because I don't believe that I have the rights to use those illustrations because they're copywritten for St. Martin's. So I found some other ones that fit that book. And so it wasn't the nine houses. It was something, I can't even remember what they are, for Breath of Dust and Dawn. And so for this novella, I just need to find similar illustrations so that I can put them into the ebook. And then eventually they'll go into the print book when I bundle the novellas together and do a print version. And then I will lay out the novella. I mean, lay out the ebook in vellum, which doesn't take very long. But when you add the illustrations to every chapter, it's just takes a little bit longer than the normal 5 minutes for vellum. And upload it to the retailers early enough to meet their deadlines. I think Amazon was only like, they moved it to 4 days in advance, but Draft to Digital is still 10 days in advance. So I'm just going to put them all up early next week, which will be well in advance of 10 days in advance of the publication date. So those are my publication tasks in addition to other marketing tasks. So we talked about this in my mastermind. I might do some AMS ads targeting myself and the rest of the series. So this novella is a prequel. It could be a standalone, but I have suggested that you read it between books 2 and 3. But there's nothing in it that you couldn't read before you read book 1. But it really leads into book 3, which makes it difficult to market, as all of these novellas are going to be. Because if they were just prequel standalones, I mean, obviously that would be easier, but they are prequels, but you're supposed to read them in between the other books because they introduce characters and plot lines that become important in the subsequent books. Facebook boosted post. I'm not going to do a lot of Facebook ads. I might boost a post or do an ad to the people that like me and to the people on my newsletter. So import those and create an audience out of my newsletter just for the 75% of the people on the newsletter who don't open the emails for whatever reason. And it's different people. You know, it's not always the same 75% because when I look at the never opens, it's a small percentage of people. So in order to just target everyone, make sure everyone knows that this thing exists, that's what I'm thinking of doing. And there's some other ideas that I'm not 100% sure about. But those are the main things. And I will see about potentially doing a video trailer just because that's something I enjoy doing. My background is in film production, video editing, and I do like making trailers. It's just time. It's like this is butting up against crunch time on working on book 4, Requiem of Silence, which I will talk about in a moment. So I don't know. And then it really depends on my work schedule and who needs what when. Because of course, whenever I go out of town, like I did last week, I come back to a mountain of emails. So this week was super fun. Just trying to get caught up on all of that. Just an update. I'm still really enjoying this Ember mug, this self-warming heating mug. Still making my life really great. So writing update. Working on Ocarina of Silence, as always. Some interesting things that happened this week in the writing. I was researching some stuff, and I found a really interesting new research site that I hadn't come across. So I think I talked about before researching sewers. I had to research water and electricity. So 1920s era, how did cities get water and electricity? And I had been looking into water when I was looking into sewers, but I did some more research on that. And Aaron Burr came up, interestingly enough, for all you Hamilton fans, or Aaron Burr fans. Aaron Burr had this scheme. So, you know, clean water was an issue in the 1700s in New York City. There was all kinds of outbreaks of diseases. Aaron Burr had, he proposed creating this private water company so that New York could get clean water. And then he slipped in some language about the water company taking loans or being able to make loans, like slid in a bank in this proposal that nobody really noticed for a while. And so they had he created the Manhattan Water Company, and it was terrible. It did not do its job very well, but the bank became profitable, and Manhattan Bank eventually merged into Chase and became Chase Manhattan, which is just like super interesting because Hamilton had actually created the first bank. And so, you know, with the rivalry, I guess Aaron Burr was like, I'm going to slide in a second bank and just to screw Hamilton. I don't know. I'm sure that was stuff that could have been in the musical, but maybe there was like a secret song about the banks, like dueling banks that that didn't make the cut. But the resource that I found that had really good articles, and actually it has ebooks, free ebooks that you can read online or download about all kinds of like sciencey stuff, is the National Academies Press at nap.edu. So it has things on sciences, engineering, and medicine. And so I was reading this whole chapter in this book about, well, there was one on electricity and Edison and how the first power stations were built and how they functioned. And I needed that research. And then also on all this history of water purification and water distribution in cities in the United States. So if you are needed to do research, once you get, you know, you have to get beyond Wikipedia and go into some more details without leaving your home, nap.edu has been good, and I recommend it. Check it out. So all this research is not procrastination, but can easily get into procrastination because it has to do with one of the big battle scenes that I'm writing. Now, I am not interested in battle scenes as a rule. I just don't find them interesting to write. There are some reviews I've seen of Song of Blood and Stone that say the end is goes too quickly. And probably that's because I'm not super interested in the battle scenes. I'm working on a battle scene, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say that it's in a city and that they are targeting the city's water and power infrastructure. Because I think that's, you know, what you would do if you're trying to take down a city. And that's why I was doing all the research to figure out, okay, how does the city get its water and power? And where would these this army attack? And how would that look? And, you know, I think that those things are more interesting to me than fight, battle, you know, kick, push, punch. So that's why I'm trying to focus on the things that I'm interested in so that I can bring that interest into the scene and make it something that is interesting to read. It's also about bringing the POV character's emotional journey into the battle scene. Like, what are they struggling with? And so it's not just forces fighting each other, which I just think is boring. But yeah, that's just another challenge that I've had to get through as I'm going towards the end of this book. Also, apparently in my contract for the audiobooks, I get CD copies. Now, I didn't get any for the first book, but This week, I got 5 copies of Whispers of Shadow and Flame audiobook on CD. They are 11 CDs, and I do not know what to do with them. There is, in this house somewhere, a CD drive, like a USB CD drive, specifically because my husband needs it for work, because there are like certain files that have to be very like encrypted, or I don't know. I think they finally switched over to digital encryption, but for years it was like, oh, I'm getting these files on CD because of HIPAA. Anyway, so I guess technically I do have a way to listen to them if I wanted to, but, and there might be in the basement some other like defunct CD playing equipment. I did have a CD player in my car, but I got a new car this week that does not have a new CD player in it. So I will be doing a giveaway, and I don't know if there will be anyone to give it away to. Maybe like libraries or retirement communities? I don't know. I'm sure there are plenty of people in the world who listen to CDs and might want 11 CDs with Whispers of Shadow and Flame on them. So if you have any insights into this, feel free to leave me a comment. And I had an event this week at Charm City Books in Baltimore. There were a couple of kids who I think their mom owns the store next door, so they're in the bookstore a lot. And one was 13 and one was 7-ish, in that range. And so one of the questions that came up during the Q&A session was about what I'm working on next. And so I gave a brief pitch of the book that I'm planning on working on next. And the 13-year-old girl was like, oh, I have a question. And she had like 5 questions about this book. She's like, when is it coming out? And I'm like, well, I haven't written it yet, so I don't know. And she's like just all these other questions about like the one sentence description that I had given of this book. And it was just so funny and like wonderful. Like she was super engaged. And they were Black. I don't know if I mentioned that these children were Black. And so I get a lot of people asking me, oh, are your books YA? Can my 13-year-old daughter read them? Like specifically 13 is the age I get a lot. One had just happened earlier, a few days earlier. I remember when it was self-published and I was at an event like selling it by hand, I was talking to the girl's mother because I could not tell how old she was. She was very tall. I might have told this story before. But anyway, I flipped to the first sex scene and I showed the mother and she was like, oh, this is fine. And so I sold the book. And so I tell, you know, different parents have different thresholds. I tell them that, you know, there are sex scenes in it, but I was reading this kind of stuff at 13 and your kid probably is, even if you don't know it. So it's probably okay. But I'm sure it depends on the child. What was my point? Oh, yes. So I do get questions from people who are looking for Black characters for their Black daughters, their teenage girls. And I have some ideas that are truly YA, and this idea actually is, I think it is YA, for a lot of different reasons. But I haven't wanted to wade into the YA pond. I think that the author YA community can be very difficult and toxic, and I don't want no parts of that. But I do see this need for like more fantasy and stories with Black girl protagonists and for Black girls. And so we'll see. I mean, the book isn't completed. I do have a draft of it. And I have to do some more research. And I did mention it to my agent finally. I hadn't even told her about it because I wasn't sure if it was even a good idea. But at the retreat, I talked to her about it, talked to a couple of other authors about it. And I feel like it has the most energy behind it. So, and it already has like one fan who is apparently chomping at the bit to read it. So we'll see. It is my current plan to finish that book because I have a draft, a horrible draft. Like the first half is fine. The second half is nothing, which is how my drafts tend to be. So I'm really excited about that. I had been, so when I was promoting one of the books and people were like, oh, what are you asking? What are you working on next? There was a dragon story that's on the back burner, but I still do want to finish. Like I want to finish everything. But this particular story has the most energy right now. And I really want to finish it. So trying to finish this book while not getting too distracted by the next bright, shiny, because I'm at the point where I'm like, when will this be done? When can I work on something new that is not in this series? So that is it for me for this week. I need to get to the writing for the day and get this book done. I hope that you all have a wonderful week, and talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter, which includes the show notes, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Fill out the survey at lpenelope.com/survey. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Check out the video episodes on YouTube. Please leave a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more wonderful podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.